5 is from the county executive requesting authorization to amend chapter 1, all these various ones, and to create chapter 34 of the Walker County General Ordinances to make ordinance consistent with the provisions of Wisconsin Act 62 as it pertains to the creation of the Office of the Comptroller.
What we have in front of us is a resolution. We also have a substitute resolution prepared by county board staff. And I believe some amendments, or at least one amendment, is forthcoming. That's my recollection of what we have. Mr. Hare?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, when this matter was before your last meeting, you directed us to, Mr. Cady and I, to work together and gain input from the to-be-elected Milwaukee County Comptroller. We've done so, and that's the report that's before you today, dated May 10. And it includes a substitute ordinance and resolution. Mr. Cady's going to walk you through the report. I'm going to pick up the piece on audit when he's through, and hopefully we can move this item today. Thank you.
Mr. Cady.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, supervisors. Our report starts off, gives you a brief history of the legislation that was approved last fall regarding the creation of the Office of the Comptroller in Milwaukee County. At your meeting on March 8th, the proposal that was submitted by the county executive to create the office was referred to county board staff and Department of Audit, and that's what this report is. We started off, Mr. Chairman, reviewing the legislation that that created the office, and we felt that it was important to highlight the first line of the statute, and that is that the comptroller is the chief financial officer of the county and the administrator of the county's financial affairs. The comptroller shall oversee all of the county's debt. And when we started off and we looked at the proposal that was submitted by the county executive, we felt that this area fell short in overseeing all of the debt. So one of the items, the questions we had is, well, what does that mean to oversee all of the debt? And we believe that based on the statutes, that means everything except budgeting for debt. The budget preparation responsibilities will always fall with the county executive and obviously with the county board as you review capital improvement budgets. The comptroller is not responsible for putting together the budget. But once the budget is adopted, everything after that, the issuance of the debt, the monitoring of the debt, reporting back to policymakers, that would be under the purview of the comptroller. So with that, our proposal recommends that the capital finance unit, these are two positions that are currently in DAS Fiscal Affairs, be transferred along with the other positions that have already been recommended to be transferred to the Office of the Comptroller. There were a few other duties and assignments that were highlighted in the county executive's report. We repeated them again here. I won't repeat all of them, but let me repeat a couple of them that I feel that are really important to understanding the second part of our recommendation, and that is fiscal analysis and fiscal notes. And the understanding is that the comptroller will review and perform a fiscal note review for all legislation that moves through the county. In addition, there will be fiscal analysis at the request of this committee or of the request of the county board or the county executive on various matters. But what fell short was that the county executive did not provide any staff to perform these duties. So we felt that after looking at that, that was a concern. You know, I'd like to point out that you have as many as 60 fiscal notes come through this county board every month. And to keep the legislation moving, it's going to be imperative that there are enough resources in the Office of the Comptroller to do that. Some of the other duties that the Office of the Comptroller will be assuming is the 5-year financial forecast. I think we've talked about that several times, how important that is to get a 5-year financial forecast. Currently, DAS Fiscal Affairs does that. Now that would be under the responsibility of the Comptroller. Again, no additional resources were provided to do those functions. A couple other areas of the reports that we felt weren't really addressed, and they really weren't addressed in the legislation either, and that was revenue estimates. One of the concerns that we've had in the past is, how do we make revenue estimates? who makes the revenue estimates and, you know, whose estimate is the most accurate. The legislation doesn't address it. The county executive proposal doesn't necessarily address it. But moving forward, that may be something that the Committee on Finance and Audit would like to look at would be who should be doing revenue estimate. That does not preclude that if you have a revenue budget come down, you couldn't ask the Office of the Comptroller for a better review of that number. But we just wanted to point out that wasn't included directly in the statute. The other thing we kind of highlighted in our report is fiscal independence. We wanted to take a look at positions throughout the county because, as we see, there are a lot of positions, fiscal and accounting, that are contained in departments and either report directly to DAS or report directly to that department head. And one of the concerns, obviously, is that the comptroller will be responsible for giving this committee quarterly, or actually financial updates as to the status of the county budget. A lot of that information is going to be compiled and then analyzed and presented to the Office of the Comptroller from departmental staff. So we think it's important at some point now to take a look at all of fiscal and accounting staff throughout the county to find out if they have the proper independence and line of reporting so that the Office of the Comptroller can get that information and provide it to you. So that's important, and that's something that we have a recommendation in the resolution, the substitute resolution that's before you, that would do just that. Would do that review with the assistance of DAS, County Board staff, and the Office of the Comptroller, and bring you a report back by October 1st of this year so that you'd have a chance to maybe make some decisions moving forward at the 2013 budget. And so we felt that it was important enough to do so. To provide the necessary resources to do these duties that we pointed out that no additional staff were created for, in addition to the capital finance unit, those two positions, we recommend that two new fiscal and management analysts, three positions, be created. This is primarily done because transferring two fiscal and management analysts from the DAS Fiscal Affairs, the budget shop, could have a pretty detrimental impact on the county executive's ability right now, especially to prepare the 2013 budget. So by creating the two new ones, we recognize that these positions could be filled, and moving forward, they would not take away from the county executive's authority to create and produce a recommended budget. Now, how is it paid for? The legislation required for at least 2012 that this all had to be cost neutral. So that means the monies have to come from existing appropriations. And the resolution that's in front of you would direct a fund transfer be approved. It's a tax levy, no tax levy impact transfer that would move all the monies and appropriations necessary to pay for the 55 positions that are being moved into the Office of the Comptroller. And in addition, the cost of the new positions would be also as part of that that transfer. That we recognize that many of the duties that fiscal notes and analysis, it's not just for DAS Fiscal Affairs, it's for all departments countywide. So there may be an opportunity to pass the hat, if you will, to get some dollars from each department because they're all going to be benefiting from that Office of the Comptroller. But that's just for 2012 and 2013. We expect that there may be some further recommendations in the organizational structure of the department. I think that's pretty much the points that I wanted to touch on, but I did want to point out one item because I think it's important. In the resolution, you'll see 55 positions are being transferred. You know, this is from central accounting, accounts payable, payroll, including transferring in positions from audit, and also the two positions from the capital finance unit. By our calculations, only 31 of those are filled. So it's important to see that even though you see a long list of positions, there's only 31 people that are currently in there. And that is because due to fiscal constraints, positions are unfunded, or just budgetary constraints is that they cannot be filled. So that's the current standing of that, and that would be the staff at this point that the Office office of the comptroller would begin with. I know there's a lot of interest in the Department of Audit and its transfer into the office of the comptroller, and I'm going to let Mr. Hare explain that a little bit more.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate the concerns that you've been expressing since October about moving audit into the elected comptroller's office. I've been a legislative auditor for almost 32 years, and I can tell you that the model that we had before this law passed is the model that best meets the standards. It's a model that they use in the federal government. It's a model that they use in the state government. But the model that's before you is a model that's been enacted as law. Fortunately, two things happened when this matter was first considered. The first was that we were successful in getting the law amended to require that the comptroller's audits be done according to audit standards. What that means is, in the standards are safeguards that provide for some accommodations to this less than desirable model. And that means that, first and foremost for you, the reports that we do will be issued publicly and presented to you as the entity responsible for governance. So we have the key component of the standards under the old model is that we report publicly through you, and that will be in place under this law as well because of the amendment. Secondly, and probably even more importantly, I think you could very reasonably argue that democracy worked. You've got an elected comptroller who I believe, based on the comments that Steve and I received from him, who I believe is committed to making sure that this government does not have a diminishment of accountability tools, including audit, that you as a board of directors will have full access to audit services. I believe he's committed to providing you with more specific protocols going forward, but clearly, in general, you have the authority to do budget amendments and resolutions, and that's a significant set of tools for you to use in calling for audits. And even beyond that, I think that Mr. Kamholz's comments earlier today, the kind of relationship that he and Mr. Morix cultivated with the mayor and the council is precisely the kind of relationship I expect Mr. Mansky and our office will cultivate with you. We all have important work to do for the people. We need to minimize the static and drama and get down to that, doing that important work. And I think that Craig and Wally did that at the city, and we can emulate that here. I'll end it at that. I think a lot of the fine print details are to follow in the protocols from Mr. Mansky. But fundamentally, I want to assure you that our office will do everything we can going forward to make sure that you have the resources you need to hold those who provide services to this government accountable for high quality, efficient, effective services. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Hare. With respect to the 31 of 55 positions being filled, I'm kind of very surprised about that in a way, in as much as for many years, some of us on the Finance and Audit Committee have been looking toward audit positions and fiscal positions being approved, and with that direction basically coming from the departments. So this is... So this, at least the substitute resolution, is something that I'm looking forward to, and the report that is forthcoming in a few months that will give us an idea as to where things are. I hope that departments can understand, if these measures are passed, that this fiscal independence as it relates to the people who are embedded in their departments is something that it should have been. It should be respected, and we should go forward as a corporation, municipal corporation, to do those things which should be done as it relates to keeping the books. Supervisor Schmidt, the Supervisor Roma West.
I would hope the board would enthusiastically pass. So I want to put on the table then that for to approve the substitute resolution here to the county executives. And I'll give some reasons why. I think some have been talked about already. I'll make a couple comments. I mentioned an editorial today about giving the county control all the tools he will need. I couldn't agree more. I'm a little past the fact that I think this was a solution looking for a problem that wasn't there. And I want to point out, since this board has been so maligned over the years, three major very positive and major things the board has done with the previous administration. I'm talking about St. Mike's, I'm talking about going to self-insured, I'm talking about pension obligation bonds. There's millions and millions of dollars here that the board has saved. These were executive decisions to go to St. Mike's. They're executive decisions to keep us non-self-assured. It was executive decisions to early on go with pension obligation bonds that this board found, with the help of Wally Morix, by the way. It's interesting. Okay. And our staff. My point being is, since the pension fiasco, we've come to rely on our staff. Mr. Mansky was one that couldn't be happier that he was the elected comptroller. But we have gotten the information we needed. No legislature in this country doesn't have a legislative reference bureau that it can go to for information that they badly need to get the finances, get the numbers they need. That was audit for us all the time. That was our staff for us all the time. And yes, I certainly was very concerned that we lost audit, because we relied on audit to get the information we needed. The executive has their budget. That's fine. Okay. We need to trust. We need to verify, don't we? And we need our statistics. And we need our staff so we can have some confidence in numbers that are given. Okay. And I know they're going to work together. And the things I've heard today, I'm very encouraged by. So this substitute resolution gives it to us. I mean, the comptroller, the CEO, CFO, COO, I mean, that's a lot of power in one man. You better have the right man, the right ethics there. Because we saw this in some other institutions where you give one person so much power, that's a tough position to be in. And where are the safeguards? Okay. Well, the safeguards are some of the things we've talked about today in the substitute resolution. Let's give him all the tools he needs. After the budget, he has all the power. Okay. And we relied on Mr. Mansky to give us when we had, you know, when we have stuff with our unions, and we had, you know, we said we need this information tomorrow, we got a special meeting. Those things aren't going to happen overnight anymore. He's got a tremendous job description. You see the job description this is? This is incredible. All those titles I just talked about. He needs all the staff in the substitute resolution. It's absolutely incumbent upon us that we pass this. It's critically important. It's there. So it's there. I'm also very encouraged to hear from Mr. Hare, and we worked on this in intergovernmental relations. I was certainly a part of that. Looking at the audit and some independence for audit. I know Mr. Mansky appreciates that. And we're going to give him all the support that he needs. He needs all the support of the staff, not just in words. So, like I said, I think these additions to his staff is critically important, because he has a big job ahead of him. But again, I think we did have the tools in place since the early 2000s here. We made good decisions not to go to St. Mike's. The board did. The board did that. That had been $25 million or so. We have an albatross on us, and you know, we're talking about those changes now in different way to deliver system. What would have been there? But we didn't go self-insured a number of years ago. Mr. Hare and our staff has testified many times, and if the reporters or anybody else wants information, they can go to them. The tens of millions of dollars that this board saved. Now, insurance costs, you saw just in the paper today, or yesterday was it, insurance costs are up all over the place. It's not that we're saving millions of dollars, okay? We're saving millions of dollars that we would have been paying 15 and 20%. If we didn't go self-insured a number of years ago, all the discounts that we get as being self-insured, and having put the staff in order to do that, third parties would have got all those discounts. We'd have lost tens of millions of dollars over the years. That can be verified by audit. And we trusted audit to do that for us. Pension obligation bonds. How would we be paying for this government? It was in the paper again how much pensions cost us. It's the way it is in any public employees. Pensions cost a lot of money. Okay? How do you pay it? We can never pay it out of our budget. We had to get pension obligation bonds. But not the pension obligation bonds a couple times we got previously from administration. We had to dig and make sure the timing is critical. Some stabilization fund was necessary. It wasn't in the initial reports. And our staff did a lot of work. My point is, I think our staff and our controller, Mr. Mansky, and our auditor and our staff did the job for us, and we relied on that as necessary. And the board took action. We can take credit for those kinds of things, by the way. And I just want to make sure that isn't lost, because we came to rely on it. I certainly did. And from all the comments I'm getting today and by the substitute resolution, I think I'm very happy to say that some of the concerns that I had, and not only myself, I think the whole legislative branch should have these kind of concerns, to lose, you know, the information pipeline we need to have to make the decisions we're held accountable for. Everybody will make us accountable. Then let's make sure we get the information necessary we can make the right decisions. And I have no problem with the Office of Comptroller coming in now. It's a done deal. We don't make sure that we give them all the tools necessary. But I also want to it's important we have some independent source. I know Mr. Mansky's times, instead of working 60 hours, he's supposed to have to work 80 hours a week now. Okay? So to expect him to be able to say, well, you know, Mr. Mansky, we need these reports tomorrow like we used to do in the past, that's not going to be possible. And maybe you can delegate to audit to help us out. And there's a pipeline there that we talked about, and this is very necessary. And if I got riled up about it, well, because this is an extremely important issue to us, to say the least, and I want to make sure that we get this substitute resolution passed for, I think, the tools we need as a legislative branch to do our jobs, too. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Schmidt. I want to acknowledge the presence of Chairwoman Marino Dmitrievich. Thanks for coming. Supervisor Rommel-West?
I was just going to move approval.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Jerzyk and Mr. Horst.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple questions about the practice and procedure of this change. Previously, our financial notes for legislation, if you will, was prepared largely by our staff, although I know our staff usually did work with departments. Is that procedure changing? How are we going to approach that?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, the preparation of fiscal notes, by and large, is done by the originating department. That could be for a supervisor's resolution. It would be here by county board staff. For most of the legislation that you see come through this committee from various departments, it's the fiscal staff from that department that created the fiscal note. There are fiscal notes that are treated somewhat differently, and the DAS Fiscal Affairs may review them. It's very possible that departments are working closely with DAS Fiscal Affairs. So when I look at fiscal notes, most of them at this point, most, aren't directly reviewed by Fiscal Affairs staff. Some are. That was a very important point, and one of the strong recommendations that we received from the new comptroller was to try and develop those policies and procedures, and it was at the recommendation of Mr. Mansky that we added a be it further resolved that said that the comptroller is requested to report to the Committee on Finance and Audit as soon as practicable to share policies and procedures and how he intends to meet the responsibilities of the Office of the Comptroller that have been granted under the legislation, specifically in regards to fiscal notes and analysis and audits.
Could you give us the lines?
Sure. That is under lines 94 through 98 of the substitute resolution and ordinance.
So that's something that could be tweaked going forward, is what you're saying?
I do believe that the comptroller is going to have to develop policies and procedures that allow for fiscal notes to be reviewed, but also recognizes that perhaps not every single fiscal note in this county requires to be reviewed. And that could be something moving forward. And I'm talking about reviewed directly by the Office of the Comptroller in advance of the policymakers. Understanding, of course, that this committee or any committee could still ask the Office of the Comptroller to review a note if you felt uneasy about it.
I am a little concerned, and perhaps thank you for giving us those lines. I will not add language or ask for an amendment, but I know Mr. Mansky's here, and I want to make sure he hears this. I'm concerned about some of this delaying the preparation of resolutions and the ability of policymakers to move things through. So that's something that I would like looked at further as well. Second question, Mr. Chairman, if I can go on. A lot of times in finance, as we get the fund transfers reports, specifically I and I've heard others will have asked, has the county exec signed off on the fund transfers? Who should we be asking now in terms of fund transfers? Is the county exec still going to be reviewing fund transfers before those reports come to finance? And now is it also the Office of the Comptroller? How is that going to work?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I would foresee that fund transfers, by and large, are a change to your adopted budget. Therefore, it would still be the responsibility of DAS Fiscal Affairs to prepare and move those forward, County Executive to sign off on those recommended changes to your adopted budget.
Does the Comptroller have any responsibility in that regard?
Certainly, he could if this committee asked him to weigh in on a fund transfer and its impact, but I don't foresee that he would typically be in the pipeline of review.
So it would still be the appropriate question if has the county exec, and of course DAS is his department, has signed off on fund transfers. That would still be the appropriate question for that part.
That is correct.
Thank you. I do agree that we need to give sufficient staff for the Comptroller, and I largely agree with all of the transfers. I'm very happy to see that the capital team has been moved into these positions as well, and I appreciate the emphasis from the legislation, which really also supports that. And of course, we're talking about Pam Bryant and her staff, who have handled all of our capital requirements. I continue to be concerned about our ability, that is the board's ability, to do legislative audits. We are looking at the entire audit staff being moved into the Comptroller's office. At this point, I would suggest that we at least continue to watch that issue. I can say that I totally trust Mr. Hare. He's an award-winning auditor. I have never questioned his work. He is now going to be moved, and his entire staff is going to be moved under the position of Comptroller. I would, at this point, agree with that, but I agree with that largely because I understand we have Mr. Manske as the Comptroller, and I want to thank Mr. Manske for putting himself out there and running for elected office. Sometimes the public, who often criticizes politicians, don't understand how difficult it is to do that, to put yourself out there and get elected. So thank you, Mr. Manske, for stepping up and doing that. We work with Mr. Manske. We understand how Mr. Manske does his work. We trust and understand Mr. Hare, but the long-term effect of this change, I think the jury's going to be out for a very long time on this. I still think about a situation where a Comptroller with a very extreme conservative position possibly gets elected and takes a very extreme position on whether appropriate funds are available for paying, whatever the legislation might be, in terms of taking very extreme positions on structural deficits, et cetera. We're not going to know those answers until we see perhaps a change of personality here. So for what that's worth, I think long-term the jury is out on this change. I will be supporting this. I do want, and Mr. Manson, you've lost the right to your back seat now that you're elected. I think you're going to have to sit in the front row from now on. But I would like to see Mr. Manske. I would like to see Mr. Manske also, when he comes back, to report back to the board in lines 91 through 95, also talk about this. The Comptroller's request to report to the Committee on Finance and Audit as soon as practicable, to share policies and procedures and how he intends to meet the responsibilities of the Office of the Comptroller that have been granted under legislation. I would really like to hear from you, Mr. Manske, on whether all of these positions that are being transferred under the Comptroller should be civil service positions, or at least referred to the Civil Service Board for that consideration. I think if we're going to take politics out of any of these roles with regard to the Comptroller, we ought to seriously look at making those civil service positions, and I would ask you to please review that and to consider it. And for myself, I will continue to watch the issue of legislative audits. We are not reserving any audit staff to do that at this point. I will agree with what we're doing here today, but I'm going to continue to watch that as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Ms. Torhorst.
Thank you for allowing me to provide some comments. The county executive's analysis primarily focused on ensuring that the comptroller had the resources to do the policies that were start to be laid out in the state statute, recognizing that there are a lot of policies and procedures that the comptroller still needs to work out. For example, the fiscal note issue. The statute reads, you know, it's included in a section that says, whenever requested to do so by the county executive or county board, the comptroller shall provide an independent fiscal analysis of any matter affecting the county and shall provide the county executive with a fiscal note for all proposed legislation. There is, to some extent, variability that his office has in creating a policy that could be, at the largest sense, creating every fiscal note from origin. Or it could be, similar to Corporation Counsel, a referral on analysis of a fiscal note or a ceiling in which a number hits that could have a trigger effect that could go to that office. That will have a significant impact on how much staffing is needed for this office. In providing the original staffing model that we laid out, we believe that it allows the comptroller to have some time to analyze those policies and procedures and create a staffing plan that would address those. I don't hope that today is the last day that we will be talking about the staffing needs of DAS and the comptroller. I hope that this is an ongoing discussion as that policies and procedures evolve. The county executive does not want the comptroller's hands to be tied in doing his job. The county executive also doesn't want DAS to be hindered in both analyzing and creating a budget for us as well as you, but also in the day-to-day fiscal functions of county affairs. The staffing model laid out by the county board assumes that there will be some policy that is at the largest breadth of that rainbow. And it is our hope that we just take some time and deliberate, allow the policies and procedures to come before this board before having a full staffing model. As mentioned earlier, the 31 of the 55 positions are filled, but 41 of the 55 are funded. So there is still a 10 staff window within that office as of the creation date of our memo that the department has in finding staff funding to help in this transition if necessary. Clearly, this is a issue that has been debated between the second and the third floor rather intensely, and it is our hope that this deliberative process to analyze the staffing needs to the best extent possible is done in a thoughtful and, if we can, remove politics from the process. This is a significant function for county government, and it's going to have long-term fiscal impacts, and the creation of this office is very important, and we encourage you to have a very thoughtful approach into setting up the staffing for this model. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate those comments, and I, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I do agree that this is going to be an evolving process, as we mentioned. If there's any question about it, I don't think when Wally Marks and when we had people in the city of Milwaukee at a comptroller that day one he had everything. I mean, that job evolved over many years, and I'm certainly presuming that Mr. Mansky's interrogating, looking at all the job descriptions and what he's going to have to do. As time goes on, he will be coming to us and saying, this works, this doesn't, I need this staff or I need that. I certainly presume that we're going to have to look at, I mean, I don't think the county executive had all the answers on this. I mean, I think we have to take responsibility here and safeguard the things that I won't repeat that I sincerely believed in, especially as a legislator. So we don't have to completely agree. We need to work together, but I think we need the substitute resolution. And again, I put that on the floor, okay, to move approval of the substitute resolution. And then yes, but I think the financial stuff we talked about, I think the capital stuff is critically important. I think it's important to have them to move there for reasons that we could debate, I suppose, but I think think that's very critical. So I hope we move forward. I think these steps are necessary. But with the acknowledgement that, as you well said, that this is precedent setting for Milwaukee County. Independence, we all want independence, we all want good information. How you get about it, we could disagree a little bit. Okay, I said I thought we had that information going along. We have an office, we have a person, we have trust in this office, that means a lot. But for the future, we want to make sure that, it doesn't become a personality, that it's an office that does have responsibilities that are clearly defined. And we have to look at this together. Yeah, some of the decisions we make today, we might have to revisit, but that'll take time. We want to make sure we have all these safeguards that I think are important to us that are there. So that's my last comment. So
thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you. One comment that I would have on this whole process is that I would hope that, as you say, the third floor would learn that if they're going to be dealing with the state legislature in matters, that they move a little more slowly, and that they know who they're working with, and that they're working with people who have the best interests of Milwaukee County government, the citizens of Milwaukee County at heart. Because this bill, I wasn't here, I was in the legislature when this bill was moving, and it moved awfully quickly. And there were a lot of unanswered questions. And, this may be a great idea, and it may work, and I applaud Mr. Mansky also for running and being elected. But this didn't have to pass in 2 weeks. And I don't think we got the best product done that way. But once the county executive put his force behind it, the bill was moving, it was going to pass. And that's my only advice to you, is that if large issues like this come up again in Madison, that before you jump in, you know who the players are, because a lot of the people sponsoring this were not friendly to Milwaukee County.
Thank you, Supervisor. We have a motion for approval for the substitute resolution. Any other? Yes.
I don't want to cut on to the clerk, but Mr. Chairman, the appropriate would be to move substitution so that the
substitute
would be in front of you,
resolution.
But then you would have a motion to approve.
That's what I meant.
Okay. We have
two
motions to substitute.
First to substitute.
Right.
To
substitute.
Make the motion first to substitute this for the county executive.
On the motion to substitute.
Point of order.
Yes.
Did we ever put the county exec's ordinance forward on an action item? And if so, is it really necessary? If not, if that's necessary, do we substitute?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, by the nature of the way the legislative files are brought before you, they're in front of you. So therefore, you have to dispatch the other one or substitute a different motion, and technically, to. So, yes, the county executive's proposal was before this committee, and therefore this committee has to take an affirmative action to substitute a different course of action.
And
so
if that fails, we'll go to the original.
So basically they were both being referred simultaneously, is that?
What happened was in March, when the county executive's proposal was before you, you laid it over and asked for county board staff to make a review and recommendations, which we've done. The committee is going to move approval or move to substitute, so therefore that matter is now in front of you. And then, so it's just a two-vote process.
Okay. Just a clarification, though, we never took action on the proposed ordinance from the county exec's office.
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. On the motion to substitute.
Supervisor Cohen?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Moes.
Aye.
Joseph.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to substitute approved 7-0.
Thank you. The substitute resolution ordinance is before us.
Move approval.
Supervisor Joseph moves approval. Any comments, questions, concerns?
And Mr. Chairman, I just want to note that we do have the return report that's been both highlighted in the ordinance and talked about this morning, that timely comes back before the committee.
Would you repeat that, ma'am?
The report from the comptroller that's both highlighted within the ordinance, which has been talked about, I just want to make sure that comes back timely before we get involved with budget.
Yes. Okay. Pardon me. No, I don't think anybody did.
Mr. Chairman, the resolution requires that report be furnished to this committee no later than October 1st of this year. That would give you a chance to review it during your deliberations during October of the 2013 budget.
Okay. If we could get it beforehand, that would be appreciated, since we will have budget deliberations during that time. Thank you. So, no questions, concerns, comments? Then on the substitute resolution.
Approval of the substitute. Supervisor Fong?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Rommel West?
Aye.
Jersey?
Aye.
Haas?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
And Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to approve, 7-0.
Mr. Chair?
Supervisor Haas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I voted on the prevailing side of item one, I ask you if it is possible for a reconsideration of item one earlier in our agenda.
A reconsideration?
Yes, sir.
Of item number one. Yeah, okay. The vote was 4-3, and you voted on the prevailing side?
Correct.